Hi, and welcome to Barefoot is Legal. I'm John Schleyer with Sierra, the Barefoot Girl. How are you doing today, Sierra?
I'm super great. How are you, John?
Doing good, doing well. It's been a great week. Great week.
It sure has.
And this will be an exciting week. We get to talk about our barefoot life. And
yes, we've had requests from our listeners to talk about our own barefoot experiences. So, you know, we've been kind of, like, not focusing on ourselves because there's so many other exciting people out there, but we're going to give our listeners what they want, you know? We're not going to tell you no. If you want to hear about us, we'll tell you about us.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. That's what we're here for. We want to share and get more people involved, and the more we can get people excited about having barefoot experiences, the better it's going to be.
Exactly. But first, we're going to start out with our barefoot tweets this week. We've got a whole bunch all ready to go for you here. Remember, if you want your tweet read on the air, you can tweet me directly at Sierra Barefoot, S-I-E-R-R-A Barefoot, or just use the hashtag Barefoot so we can find your tweet. Life on the Run tweeted, super fun barefoot running session with my 8-year-old daughter at Obidos Castle, Portugal. Hashtag Life on the Run, hashtag Run Tag It. And he's got a 10-second video of his daughter just running past the castle. It's super cute. Go St. Barefoot Limited says, link to the natural world. Also keen to feel what's around you. Hashtag paleo, hashtag barefoot, hashtag barefoot running. And they've got a picture of chainmail shoes. So if you need protection from, like, if you're hiking on rocks or something, then you can still have the grounding effect because that's conductive. So you can still have the grounding effect, but you'll be protected from things that could hurt you. Or if you're working in a kitchen and you're afraid of dropping a knife on your foot, this will protect you. So great innovation out there, these chainmail shoes. Ruth Langemeijer says, today meeting with the Amsterdam Sanitary Department about cooperation with the Crazy Barefoot Marathon in August. Hope that goes well and that they're able to get that off the ground. P Money says, sorry for the quality, but I was having fun in the sun barefoot. Hashtag water ski Wednesdays. And there's a video of a person water skiing, just jumping right out of the boat, hanging onto this bar that's off the boat, and skiing on their bare feet on the water, which I think is awesome and terrifying. I would never do it, but good for them for trying. Team EXOS tweeted, are you a barefoot athlete? Here are our tips for training barefoot. And they've got a link to an article on coreperformance.com called How to Become a Barefoot Athlete. The graphic on here is awesome. They've got one foot they've got a running shoe on, and the other foot they've photoshopped the running shoe to have toes on it. It's super, super cute. But their tips are make gradual progress, prehab your feet. So you basically do a warm-up, you know, wiggle your toes, and they call it phalangeal fitness. Phalanges are your toes and fingers. They say pay attention to stride. If you're pounding on your heels a lot, you're not going to get the shock absorption if you were landing on your toes. And they say employ proper recovery techniques. So those are their tips that they've tweeted for people transitioning into becoming a barefoot athlete. Kenneth A. Prosner tweeted, 4 miles barefoot on concrete boardwalk, down to a 7-minute pace. It seems the feet have all the cushion one needs at borntorug.org. So, again, your feet have all the cushioning they need doing 7-minute miles on a concrete boardwalk in the summer. I mean, that's pretty tough. And Barefoot Guy says, for some reason, I feel more barefoot when wearing jeans than I do wearing shorts. Myself, personally, I feel the most barefoot wearing skirts. I am wearing shorts right now, though. Just got back from running errands while barefoot. So, I mean, I'm pretty much happy as long as I'm barefoot, no matter what the rest of me is wearing. Cute and Country says, here's to the girls who grew up playing in the dirt, who ran outside barefoot and weren't afraid to be one of the boys, which that was definitely me as a kid. Running around in the dirt, playing, climbing trees barefoot, all kinds of stuff. So those are our tweets from the barefoot community this week. Again, if you want your tweet read on the air, you can tweet me directly at Sierra Barefoot, or you can tweet John at Flip Top Barefoot, or you can just use the hashtag Barefoot. That's how we find most of these. And we would also like to open up the line for any callers to call in and comment. If you would like to call in and make a comment, the guest call-in number is 347-324-3704. And then just press 1 so that we know you want to be on the air. Otherwise, you just show up in our studio as another listener. So if you've got a comment, 347-324-3704, extension 1. So now comes the fun part where we get to talk about our own barefoot experiences. I'm super excited. I haven't done this on the radio in a while.
Yeah,
we'd be like interviewing either. Each other, John. Do you want to interview me about my barefoot life like we interview our guests?
Sure. We could do that. And although I do know most of it, I will still ask the questions so our listeners can be intrigued. So, Sierra, what got you started into a barefoot lifestyle?
Well, when I was a kid, my mom grew up on a farm, and I visited this farm frequently as a kid. And we also have a summer pasture for the family's cattle. We call it Up in the Hills. It's in the hilly creek area of Beezer, Alberta, near Waterton, if anybody's familiar with southern Alberta. And there's a creek that flows through the middle of the pasture, and it's got very rocky banks. And my mom, every time we go up there, she'd be like walking on the rocks, no problem. And I'd be like limping along behind her. Mom, how do you do that? She's like, I'm used to it. My feet have just gotten tough over the years. And so I remember being like 8 or 9 years old and thinking, man, I want to have tough feet like my mom so I can walk on these rocks. And she was like, well, if you want to do that, you've got to start walking barefoot on them. But like at the time we lived in California and didn't go up in the hills or any of our family very often. Just, we'd spend the summers up there. And then I never really liked wearing shoes. My grandma thought I had some sort of mental handicap because at the age of 11, I did not know how to tie my own shoes. My gym teacher in grade 6 actually like sat me down and was like, okay, we need to teach you how to properly tie your shoes because this is a problem. Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing. But so I just didn't like shoes. I had guys that I dated in high school that joke that I never wear real shoes because they were always either flip-flops or little ballet flats that were just easy slip-on shoes because I didn't even think about living barefoot then. I was just getting away from the clunky, confining running shoes that most people wear. But I first started trying to kind of rebel and go barefoot when I started going to Brigham Young University. I moved out there 3 weeks after my 18th birthday, got my own apartment, and part of going to BYU, they've had a lot of controversy for this, but part of going to BYU is you have to sign an honor code. And I mean, most of it, pretty standard stuff, like don't do drugs. They have a dress code for campus, though. And part of that dress code, among other things, is that you cannot be barefoot on campus. And I was living on campus, and about 2 weeks after I moved in, the RA sat down with all the girls that were in the building, and she's like, okay, we've had some complaints about people being barefoot in this building. Yes, technically it's on campus, but guys, come on, we live here. It's okay. Calm down. But I was also going outside of the building and checking my bill barefoot, even in the snow, which apparently freaked people out, so... once I started doing that, I was just like, this is awesome. Bare feet on the snow feel awesome. And also, I got a kick out of leaving my bare footprints in the snow so people could think I was crazy or something. I got a kick out of that. And so, just walking around my apartment and the building barefoot, checking my mail barefoot, didn't seem a big deal to me. Especially because Canadians take their shoes off in the house. Unlike Americans, most Americans, from what I understand from my American family and friends, most of them leave their shoes on in the house or have special house shoes, which Canadians don't do that. They take their shoes off at the door and they leave them there and they don't put them back on until they go back outside. So it was just not much of a transition to me to go walk barefoot to check the mail. And then after 5 semesters, I left BYU because it just wasn't working for me.
I also had some personal issues going on at the time, and being in college while dealing with personal issues, not the greatest. So I moved back home, moved on to the farm where all those lovely cattle and chickens and llamas, because my uncle raises llamas, all of them were. And I was walking around barefoot on the farm because I basically was too lazy to put on shoes. Like, you know, we're not going into town. Don't have to put on shoes to run next door to the neighbors. So that wasn't really a big step from just going and checking the mail barefoot. Running over next to the next house over barefoot, not a big deal. And then while I was at home, I entered an amateur photography and modeling contest with my cousin. So my cousin was the photographer and I was the model. And the first week of the contest, one of the guys that was following the contest noticed that I was barefoot in all but one of the pictures. And he emailed me, he said, "Are you a barefooter?" And I was just like, what the crap is a barefooter? I have no idea what this is. And so he explained the whole concept of this barefoot movement to me, that there are people who, they just don't wear shoes, they don't like them, they think they're awful, and so they just live their whole life going everywhere without shoes. I was like, this is me, this is awesome, there are other people that do this, I'm so on board with this. And so I ended up getting fifth place out of 24 in the modeling contest, which was cool. But that's what kind of exposed me to the world of going barefoot as a lifestyle choice rather than just out of laziness or convenience. And so at first I was really like nervous and scared to try going anywhere barefoot. So I had to run errands with my cousins one day, and I was just like, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to go to the grocery store barefoot. And nobody said anything. My cousins thought I was, like, totally nuts, but they're used to me. I'm nuts. I'm nuts anyway. They're used to it. Our family's full of crazy people. So they thought I was weird, but nobody said anything in the store. And so I was just like, you know, I can do this. And so I started driving barefoot, which kind of freaked my grandma out because a lot of people think that it's illegal to drive barefoot. But guess what? It's not. We, last week, 2 weeks ago, talked, we had an article written by a driver's ed instructor, that comment by police. It's not illegal to drive barefoot anywhere in the U.S. or Canada or anywhere else that we've been able to find. So myth busted on that one. So I started driving barefoot. And then kind of the crux of my, like, commitment to live 100% barefoot as much as possible happened. I got an offer to model for cityfeet.com, which is a Russian fetish porn site. I was a teenager, and I was not really aware that this kind of thing even existed. And I was like, sweet, I'm going to get paid to model. This modeling contest got me a gig. This is awesome. So I did that for about a year until I kind of figured out what was what and ended up with lots of stalkers that emailed me constantly asking me to send them private pictures of my feet, asking me to like take videos of me walking on hot coals and putting out cigarettes on my feet. And I was like, no. So when I got engaged to my husband, my followers on the blog like dropped dramatically. So that was also a big part of leaving the blog and starting my own. So I now run my own blog, SierraTheBarefootGirl.com. I blog about my barefoot life, my life as a mom, all the fun stuff that I do with my family. And I throw a little bit of humor in there. On Mondays, I post an awkward moment Monday story. Talk about something really stupid I did as usually a teenager or young adult. What was the one this week? I don't even remember. But I have all kinds of good ones on there. Usually like horrible date stories because I've got a lot of those. A lot of those. And I also do Pinspiration Thursdays where I find a Pinterest craft and attempt to do it and usually fail horribly and hilarity ensues. And I take pictures and post them so you can realize that those crafts on Pinterest are complete freaking lies. So, yeah, that's the very long explanation of how I started into living barefoot.
Wow, quite exciting. That I feel kind of like the person that's coming up to perform after the star and thinking, what material do I have here? Because my mind is nowhere nearly, in my opinion, as exciting. But for me, As long as I could remember, I never really liked wearing shoes. I mean, as a kid, you name it. I grew up in a family where it really wasn't acceptable to go out without shoes, but I would sneak around on my own, even to stores and everything else, at a very young age. As I got a little older, pretty much the same thing went on throughout my teen years, and I moved out of the house when I was like 18 years old. I had a brother that lived in Florida. At the time, I was in New Jersey. So he said, why don't you come down to Florida? And he worked for a big corporation at the time. He said, let me see if we can get you a job there. So I moved in with him and immediately started just going barefoot as much as I can, to the point where he kind of let me know I really shouldn't do that as much, but I still did quite a bit. Never ended up getting that job that he was thinking was going to be there, but did get into other things. From there, as I grew older, it would be, you know, I did get a job in a very conservative business. It would become very difficult to go barefoot at times because it would be socially unacceptable. So I would bounce back and forth. I'd have periods where I'd go barefoot for quite a while, and then I wouldn't. The big change really didn't happen until, I would say, my 30s. At a fairly young age, I got plantar fasciitis. For those of you that are familiar or not familiar with that, you get this extreme pain in your heel from it. And I read all of the options on taking care of it, and pretty much they wanted you to wear inserts and do special exercises and orthotics of different types. And I tried all of that. None of it was working. I had this pain, ridiculous pain. The internet was just barely blossoming at that time. It was just about on the verge of existence at the time. So with that, there was a few, very few, I mean, by today's standards, it was amazing how little information there was out there about this, but I found just a few articles that said, if you want to get rid of the pain, just go barefoot. And I thought, well, I don't like wearing shoes anyways. By that point, I really had switched to more of a shod lifestyle for the most part. So I tried it, and it's hurt. In fact, it seemed like it hurt even worse for about a month. But I kept trying it because I already had where I didn't like to wear shoes to begin with. So that was on my side. Now I have a reason for it. But the pain was still there, so I was really kind of doubting that anything was going to happen. The pain when I did have it at first was to the point where if I was sitting in a chair and wanted to get up, I'm looking around for what can I grab to hold on to. You get that severe of a pain shooting up the leg from your foot with that pain. So, you know, I said, I still want to do something about this. I continued to go barefoot. And then after about a month and a half, one day I realized I don't have any more pain. It's kind of like I went from having it to not having it. And it was just kind of like a revelation. It's like, where did it go? You know, did it automatically just change? So what I know now looking back, yes, going barefoot is the way to solve that problem. And, you know, our feet are a shock absorber. We're supposed to land on the front of our feet, not on the heel. When you land on the heel, you're transmitting more than 1,000,000 pounds of pressure up your body every day. Take your weight by a number of steps, and you have the amount of pounding you're doing on those heels every day. So with that said, I was still living a very conservative life. I still had the concerns of, you know, coworkers and with it, you know, deathly afraid of meeting somebody in public. So I would typically drive to a neighboring town just about, so it would be less likely that I would run into anyone that I knew. Ironically, it seemed like I ran into more people there than I did in my own town. So I did that for a while, and for the next 20-some years, it was inconsistent again. I would go barefoot for a while, then, you know, life has a way of creeping up on you and you get sidetracked and other priorities come up, and then I wouldn't. And then the pain would come back a little bit, and then I would go back to going barefoot for a while, and this kept recurring, kind of like somebody with an eating disorder almost, or, you know, constantly dieting and binging. So that pretty much was how it went for many, many years. The biggest change happened 2 years ago in April. 2 years ago in April, I woke up one day and I had this idea for a soleless sandal that would look like a flip-flop. It just popped in my head. I didn't feel I was thinking about it. Just all of a sudden, there it was. I went out to the garage. I ripped apart a pair of flip-flops and started playing around with how I would do this. And after just a couple tries, I'd gotten it pretty successful. And so I started wearing those. My wife was on vacation visiting her parents at the time. And I went to meet her at the airport. And when she got off the plane, when I met her coming off the plane in the lobby, whatever you want to call it nowadays, she said, "Oh, you're wearing shoes." Now, you have to understand, I, by this point, I was still going barefoot quite a bit before the flip-tops, bouncing back and forth. But if I went to a place like the airport, no way, I wasn't wearing shoes. It never just wouldn't happen. So I looked at her, I said, "Am I?" And she looked again and saw them and was quite surprised. And, you know, I told her the whole story. And then I kept wearing them everywhere. And I mean, I went out, made a point of wearing them anywhere I could, even places I was really afraid to prior. One of the things I learned is most of those fears are ones we create for ourselves, you know, and they're not necessarily a real fear, a real reason, but we create them. And so I started everywhere going with these. I was at a point where I really didn't care what other people thought anyways, which is a wonderful place to get in life, I can tell you that, to not have that fear of what other people are thinking. Don't get me wrong, you still want to live in society and do things that are, you know, pretty normal, but when you know you're doing something that's not hurting anyone, there's, you know, no reason to be concerned about it. The following year, they had this thing called One Spark in Jacksonville. It's a crowdfunding event. It was only on its second year at the time. So I put together a bunch of information, got a booth, spent a week at One Spark, and pretty much telling the story. I had flyers I was handing out. I was really giving more focus to the benefits and myths of going barefoot than I was the actual product, in all honesty. You know, I was covering why you want to do that before, you know, before they knew they have a need for a product. So I did that, and then again, life's getting in the way still during this time. So a year goes by really quickly, and really hadn't done too much more with it. Now I'm at a point where I'm working with a manufacturer. I am so close. It seems like this will never get there. I just have this, it feels like this glass wall I can't get past. But I have a manufacturer to start putting these out. I want other people to be able to have the same experience as I've had. And I'm not saying you have to have these to go barefoot. I'm just saying for me, it made it so much easier. And it was such a revelation. The amazing thing is, people would still figure out I was barefoot because I didn't have anything on the bottom of my feet. At times, they'd figure it out. But they didn't seem to have the same reaction. There seems to be this knee-jerk reaction that's built into people that if you're not wearing shoes, you know, immediately there's something wrong with you. And it's not sanitary, and you name it. It goes on, I think most people know all of the different things that are involved. But For me, I'm sorry if you're hearing that beeping. I just pulled out my phone charger. It's acting up a little bit. But so now I'm at a point where I am going barefoot pretty much all the time. I'm full-time right now. I was laid off a few months back. So I am full-time trying to get these things out there so other people can have the experiences that I've had. And hopefully we'll be able to change their life as well. Pretty much it.
We both had very different ways of getting in to barefooting, but here we are. We've come to the same conclusion that it's the best thing pretty much in the world. We do need to take an ad break, but when we come back, we will chat more about barefoot living and some of the issues that face our community. We have a message from one of our listeners that we'll read when we come back. So stay tuned. We'll be right back, okay?
Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book and get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price, special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in present, because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper, CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show at Freedomizer Radio.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we're fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison, and these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the march against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible kernels of corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers. We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism, and that is why we march against Monsanto.
Hello, Freedomists. This is Michael Howell, host of Fighting the Tyranny here at FreedomizerRadio.com. Looking for somewhere to get at your news? Looking to stay on top of current events? Looking to end globalism? Fight the New World Order? What's your fight? Chemtrails? Vaccines? GMOs? Undeclared wars? The Federal Reserves? False flags? We got those too. 9/11? Inside job. Gulf of Tonkin? Never happened. Boston bombing? Set up by the FBI. We cover it all here at Fighting the Tyranny. Join the virtual round table. Bring it all to the table and bring it out in the open and help end globalism and fight the New World Order. Every Wednesday at 6:30 Central Standard Time, 7:30 Eastern Time, here Fighting the Tyranny, here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Are you ready to look behind the curtain? to know the truth, to pierce the veil, then prepare to go down the rabbit hole. Politics, economics, religion, culture, and history will be just some of the topics to be explored as we peel back the layers to find the answers to all we seek. Fridays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal. I'm Sierra, joined by my co-host, John. We've been chatting about how we got into going barefoot at the request of some of our listeners. I just got a message by one of our listeners asking to share this experience. I went to the ER with Mom, and after going to get a copy, I was stopped and told I had to have shoes on or I couldn't be there. The nurse said it was to protect the patients. I almost became irate at that point. I said, to protect the patients from what, my bare feet? Then the nurse said it was for my protection. I was like, it's a little late for that excuse. I said that there are more bacteria and germs on her shoes than there are on my feet, and I wash my feet several times a day. How often does she wash her shoes? I was livid outside while keeping my composure. I was livid inside while keeping my composure. If she had started out saying it was to protect me, or at least included me in her concern, I wouldn't have been so offended. I had to use a wheelchair, and Mom was admitted. So I got into the elevator to go up to her room and left the wheelchair in the elevator. No, I am not an insensitive prick, in case you're wondering. She had a UTI because she will not drink enough water and her normal confusion from her dementia. So her admittance was expected. So this is just yet another example of the harassment that barefooters get for not really any good reason. I mean, to protect the other patient from, it's a very valid question, from what?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that, John?
The thoughts I have is the one thing you definitely learn when you go against the norm, which you are when you're going barefoot, that's for sure, is there is people, in a way, you know, people can be like sheep sometimes. They're ingrained that you follow this direction and this is the right way to go. And if you got a sheep heading off in the other direction, there is something definitely wrong with the sheep. I look at it also back to other discriminations. You know, we see the civil liberties and, you know, I think back to like a show All in the Family. That's probably before your time, but I'm sure you're familiar with it because you're a very well-rounded person. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
I've watched some reruns, yeah.
Yeah, but the Archie Bunker attitude towards different things. The funny thing about barefooting is it's the one that just seems to stay there, that people can have the old Archie Bunker approach to, where other things have improved, or at least somewhat. You know, there are still challenges. I'm not going to belittle that for other people, but it's a lot better than it was. Believe me, I lived through it. So it still invokes that same type of mentality, though. That Norman Lear was going for when he put that show out. That's, you know, I've watched interviews with him, and you know, he was really going for that to show, you know, how
intolerant,
closed mind, yeah, inherent, how closed minded it is, and get it out there so other people could see it like a reflection in the mirror. But unfortunately, you still have that. You know, it's still going on. And that is the one thing people are going to tell you can't, they will find any reason. They don't know what the reason is. They're going to make one up. They're going to find one. They're going to believe there's one. Doesn't matter. It's just, in their mind, something that's not the right thing to do.
Exactly. Well, and there's so many examples of this discrimination even still. I mean, yeah, that show was, I don't know how many years ago, but probably like around 20-ish years ago.
More than that.
Okay.
Mid-70s. Early to mid-70s.
But, I mean, that attitude still prevails. And, I mean, people who are fans of the Harry Potter series, it's a Vernon Dursley kind of attitude. Anything that's different or unusual, he doesn't like. In the first chapter of the first book,
I'm just going to read a paragraph from it. As he sat in the usual morning traffic jam, he couldn't help noticing that there seemed to be a lot of strangely dressed people about. People in cloaks. Mr. Dursley couldn't bear people who dressed in funny clothes. Get-ups you saw on young people. He supposed this was some stupid new fashion. He jumped his fingers on the steering wheel, and his eyes fell on a huddle of these weirdos standing close by. They were whispering excitedly together. Mr. Dursley was enraged to see that a couple of them weren't young at all. Why, that man had to be older than he was, and wearing an emerald green cloak. The nerve of him! But then it struck Mr. Dursley this was probably some silly stunt. So, I mean, if you just replace pretend it's not the Wizarding World and replace cloaks with barefoot people, it's the same attitude that you get today. My brother heard me and he's laughing. He can't believe I'm such a nerd to bring Harry Potter into my radio show. But I mean, really, that's the kind of attitudes that we face every day. It's just people that don't like things that are different. And they get upset about it.
And that's why I had to come up with my flip-tops, my invisibility cloaks.
Exactly. There you go. But even, it's not just people in no shoes that get, discriminated against. Not the first term that came to mind. Get people that, like, confront them and kick them out of places for not wearing the proper shoes. There's an article, perthnow.com.au, pregnant Perth woman barred from contest lounge for wearing sandals. Because apparently that makes sense. So the article says, a heavily pregnant Perth podiatrist was barred from entering the contest business lounge this week because she was wearing Birkenstocks, which are a type of sandals. Contest staff at Perth Airport told Chloe Ware that she was not allowed to enter the contest club because her shoes did not have an ankle strap. Remember, this is a restaurant in an airport. Mrs. Ware, a podiatrist who was pregnant with the couple's first child, said she had chosen to wear Birkenstocks, a German brand of sandals that is notable for its contoured cork and rubber footbeds, for the 4.5-hour flight. Yesterday, contest said it had apologized to the woman because the dress code rules were relaxed for pregnant women and invited her to the lounge for her return trip home. But the lounge won't let you in if you don't have a shoe with an ankle strap. Like, this is just ridiculous, people. How can people look at that and not think it's the most ridiculous thing ever? It's just, you can't come in here. You don't have an ankle strap on your shoe. Seriously.
You should try to go there in the flip tops, the red ones that have the ankle strap.
I have more of a mind to boycott them. But
I know.
There was some film festival recently where women who showed up in anything other than high heels were turned away because that was the dress code to get in. The Cannes Film Festival, here it is. Cannes Film Festival, this is from BBC.com, you know, a big reputable news site. Cannes Film Festival turned away women in flat shoes. The Cannes Film Festival has come under fire after reports women were turned away from a red carpet screening for wearing flat shoes instead of heels. The women, some of whom were said to be older with medical conditions, were attending the world premiere of Cate Blanchett's new film, Carol. Screen Daily said the festival had confirmed heels were obligatory for women at red carpet screenings. However, the director of the festival said the rumors were unfounded. Terry Fromaugh tweeted, "For the stairs, the regulations have not changed. No smoking, formal wear. There is no mention of heels." A note about dress code on the festival's website appears to reinforce his point. It says black tie, evening or evening dress is required for gala screenings, with no guidance on heel height. Screen Daily first reported the story after a Cannes regular told them how a woman wearing rhinestone-encrusted flat shoes was denied entry. The unnamed source said, "Someone I know was turned away for wearing nice flats, nothing you would wear to the beach. They were in their 50s. They told her she could go and buy appropriate shoes and come back." Asif Kapadia, whose Amy Winehouse documentary screened at the festival last weekend, also tweeted that his wife had been challenged over wearing flat shoes, although she was eventually allowed in. So it's just, like, seriously, people? It's ridiculous that this is, there's so many injustices in the world, and this is what you're going to focus on? Like, really? We have people being shot while attending Bible study, and you're going to nitpick about what kind of shoes someone's wearing? You obviously have some sort of priority problem, if that's what you're going to
waste your energy getting upset about.
Yeah, that is pretty sad. Unfortunately, one of the things that I've read about the human condition is typically people that don't have control in their lives over anything will be the type to feel they've got to administer some type of rule or ridiculous reason for doing something because that gives them some type of a control. But hopefully the majority of people aren't that way, and reason will come out in the end. But not there yet,
hopefully.
That's for sure. Yeah, we need to get there.
But there are also all sorts of warnings about how dangerous shoes can be, especially flip-flops. There's an article here from NBCPhiladelphia.com. Warning, flip-flops can kill you. Probably a little exaggerated, but, I mean, just not right there, you know. You're being turned away for sandals. You're being turned away for heels. Flip-flops can kill you. What do you have left? You go barefoot. This article cracks me up. Flip-flops can kill you. Most people wear flip-flops for comfort, but according to a new study, they might be putting your health at risk. Doctors from the University of Miami visited the Today Show on Tuesday and hit the streets testing the flops of passerby, and what they revealed is sick, literally. Among other things, your favorite summer staple can provide shelter to Staphylococcus aureus, a deadly germ that can invade your body, especially if you have an open cut or blister, causing a staph infection and potentially killing you. The easiest way to combat nasty bacteria? Well, besides not wearing flip-flops at all, buy new ones often and wear them around your house or the pool only. Or, you know, not at all. Because these are the ones that cause blisters. You know, I can't wear a pair of flip-flops for more than, like, 2 minutes without getting a blister. And I did have to put on flip-flops yesterday. It was 103 degrees, and I was outside, and I was dying. So I did put on flip-flops, but, like, I was switching between flip-flop and barefoot about every minute because the flip-flops were so awful, I would almost rather burn my feet. And then I'd be walking like, oh, no, it's so hot, I have to put them back on. Oh, this is such a predicament. Because really, I mean, there wasn't really any other good alternative except to go inside. So we went inside into an arcade and museums and just stayed inside for the most of the day because shoes are meant to be tools. So it was good that I was able to protect my feet. I'm thankful that someone invented shoes once upon a time. But people who legislate what shoes you can wear and legislate that you have to wear them absolutely drives me nuts. Unnecessary. So many better things you could be focused on.
Yeah. Societies tend to be like a pendulum. They swing just like politics or anything else. They'll swing far to the left, far to the right. And I just hope we're not going in the direction of this type of thinking that we need to be.
Yeah.
I don't think so these days. There's too much information. That's one great thing that's out there. There's just, in the past, somebody could control better because if they had a real passion to believe in something and they started sharing it, people didn't have too many resources to disagree with them. But at least today, there's plenty of places people can go for their information. Showing my age, when I grew up, we had three channels, and then these UHF channels where you had these just a handful of fuzzy channels that came in. You know, there's just not a lot of information. Now think of how much information you can get. So I'm very optimistic is where I'm going with this, that hopefully these type of things will not take hold. If anything, hopefully they'll backfire. That would be...
Well, and I don't want to touch on this too much because this is kind of controversial, but with yesterday's marriage equality ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, it gives me hope that other civil liberties will be examined more closely. And, like, regardless of what your thoughts on gay marriage are, I think we can all agree that there's too much... Well, not enough freedom. I was going to say too much control of freedom. There's not enough freedom. I mean, there's so many just, like, rules about everything. And there's an article from KaneTV.com that talks about the ruling yesterday, and I love the way they word this. They talk about it's like whatever your opinion, whether you're gay, whether you're straight. I mean, it doesn't really matter. What's done is done. But they said they should have been working toward an endgame that lessens state and federal intrusion into everyone's life. In short, we should treat everyone equally as free individuals. You should be arguing for less federal power and increased liberty for all. That's exactly right. And it's not just federal power, but corporate power too. I mean, corporations have a lot of power these days. Like they say, you vote with your dollar, and corporations have the most money, so unfortunately they get to make a lot of the rules. They back bills. It's not just in U.S. either. There's one going on right now that's under debate in the Canadian Senate that's backed by companies.
The one thing, though, that is a saving grace these days for large corporations, unlike the days of the Carneys or Rockefellers, that was really bad at that time with corporations ruling our lives. There's this little thing called social media. Corporations watch it like a hawk. So
oh, absolutely.
If there is a negative connotation to what they're voting on, doing, whatever, they do think twice about it, at least now. Not to say there's a lot of room to go, but it goes back to my earlier comments about the access to information we all have now. And that's a huge one. I've been in companies, and they're very concerned with that. They don't want to be shown, you know, all of a sudden something goes viral because of a decision they made, you know.
Apple this week, where last Saturday they announced that they're going to release their new streaming service soon and that you can sign up for a 3-month free trial. And then Taylor Swift on her Tumblr said she wrote an open letter to Apple, basically protesting the decisions to have the free trial, but they weren't going to pay artists during the free trial. And so Taylor Swift wrote an open letter to Apple. She said, "To Apple, love Taylor. I write this explaining why I'll be holding back my album, 1989, from the new streaming service. I feel this deserves an explanation because Apple has been and will continue to be one of my best partners in selling music and creating ways for me to connect with my fans. I respect the company and the truly ingenious minds who have created a legacy based on innovation and pushing the right boundaries. I'm sure you are aware that Apple Music will be offering a free 3-month trial to anyone who signs up for the service. I'm not sure you know that Apple Music will not be paying writers, producers, or artists for those 3 months. I find it to be shocking, disappointing, and completely unlike this historically progressive and generous company. This is not about me. Thankfully, I am on my 5th album and can support myself, my band, crew, and entire management team by playing live shows. This is about the new artist or band that has just released their first single and will not be paid for its success. This is about the young songwriter who just got his or her first cut and thought that the royalties from them would get them out of debt. This is about the producer who works tirelessly to innovate and create, just like the innovators and creators at Apple are pioneering in their field, but will not get paid for a quarter of a year's worth of plays on his or her song. These are not the complaints of a spoiled, petulant child. These are the echoed sentiments of every artist, writer, and producer in my social circles who are afraid to speak up publicly because we admire and respect Apple so much. We simply do not respect this particular call. I realize that Apple is working toward a goal of paid streaming. I think that is beautiful progress. We know how astronomically successful Apple has been, and we know that this incredible company has the money to pay artists, writers, and producers for the 3-month trial period, even if it is free for the fans to try it out. 3 months is a long time to go unpaid, and it is unfair to ask anyone to work for nothing. I say this with love, reverence, and admiration for everything else Apple has done. I hope that soon I can join them in this progression toward the streaming model that seems fair to those who create this music. I think this could be the platform that gets it right. But I say to Apple with all due respect, it's not too late to change this policy and change the minds of those in the music industry who will be deeply and gravely affected by this. We don't ask you for free iPhones. Please don't ask us to provide you with our music with no compensation." And there were 86,000 people within 24 hours that reblogged this and tweeted it and responded to it. And in 24 hours, Apple reversed the decision. They came out the next day and said, we will pay artists during that 24-hour period. And like you were saying, corporations watch social media like hawks, like their lives depend on it, because it does. Public perception is everything. And so I think that's a huge reason why it's so important for anyone who's in a cause, be it going barefoot, like our Barefoot is Legal page, whether it's for civil rights, whether it's for whatever, you know, it's important to gather through social media with people who agree with you, because that's where revolutions start these days. I mean, the Occupy movement that happened a few years ago, I am the 99%, all of that started on social media. And it's such a great tool to have now, because we can organize more quickly than ever before. The whole world can have information that I put out on the internet in a millisecond. You know, I put my thoughts out on Twitter, and in a millisecond, it's accessible to the whole world. And I think it's really important for barefooters to speak out, to tell their stories of when they're being harassed in establishments, to tell the companies, I don't think this is okay. And all of these people agree with me. You know, this is ridiculous. Stop kicking us out of stores. And I mean, I don't think barefoot rights are as important as racial discrimination, but it's the same type of idea as when there was separate but, quote, equal, totally not equal, but separate but equal facilities for whites and blacks in the U.S. in like the 1960s and earlier, because they didn't see black people as having the same rights as white people, and so they wouldn't serve them the same way. And it's the same way that barefooters are treated now. And it's not okay.
Exactly. And
sorry, I just went on like a huge monologue here.
Well, I'd have to say, in my opinion, I think it's just as important. And you may say, not agree with that. To me, what's important is the concept behind it, and the type of thinking needs to be challenged regardless. And social media is amazing. When I first started getting online, I found DSS, for those who don't know, that was the predecessor to Society for Barefoot Living. And for years, the membership, you know, stayed under 1,000 people, just wouldn't budge. And now we're approaching 5,000. And that happened, like, all in the last, what would you say, a year or so? That it really just jumped?
There's been 1,000 new members in the last, yeah, probably about the last year. Where we're adding almost a dozen new members a day.
Which is pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, compared to the 6 billion people on the planet, maybe not. But compared to where we were just a few short years ago, and, you know, the power of the voice that was there, it's really increasing. I think we're now at a crossroads of saying, how do we go forward with it? We have the Barefoot is Legal site, but I think we need, you know, the full participation. We need to really say, okay, why am I here? What do I want to contribute, so we can see some of these changes come about?
Well, I get a lot of times I'll be talking to someone and they're like, well, I'm not really an activist, I don't really care. But if you even once have been kicked out of a store for going barefoot, you need to care. You need to be an activist, because barefoot is human. Barefoot is legal. Barefoot is natural. Barefoot is okay. And a lot of companies don't get that. And a part of – there's another – organization out there, Barefoot is Human, where they basically represent the same ideas as we do. It's healthy, it's safe, it's legal. Barefoot is Legal is our name, Barefoot is Human is their name, but we're basically two sides of the same coin. We're just trying to get it available as an option for people. You know, we're not saying burn all shoes, shoes are evil. Shoes are tools, and they need to be respected as such, you know.
keep from getting third-degree burns on their feet by wearing shoes. People keep from getting frostbite by wearing shoes. People keep from getting their feet cut up when they want to go hiking in mountains full of shale because they're wearing hiking boots. I mean, those are excellent tools, you know, just like in the winter, you wear gloves so your freaking fingers don't freeze off, because I've tried that, not fun. But it's the same idea.
They make great planters for flowers as well.
Yeah. But there's people out there who are like, shoes, you need to wear them. It's not safe to not wear shoes. But, I mean, think of it like this. There are allergens out there all the time. Do I need to take allergy medicine every day just in case I encounter some pollen? Some people might argue yes. But there are these side effects on the back of the box. And some of them are kind of scary. I don't know how many people actually read the side effects on the back of boxes. But here's a list of the side effects on the back of the allergy medicine that I take. Dizziness, drowsiness, tired feeling, dry mouth, sore throat, cough, nausea, constipation, or headache. I mean, nothing that's going to kill you. But what are the side effects of wearing shoes? Joint pain, staph infections, athlete's foot, messed up feet, lack of proprioception. It's a tool that comes with side effects, so why would you use it every day if you don't have to?
And it's interesting you mention that. You know, as a society, you know, we believe in the miracle pill to solve things. I think we're starting to get away from that. I volunteer for a pet rescue. I've been doing it for years. We've adopted out over 5,000 animals in the last few years. I had the worst allergies in the world. The overexposure completely cured me of it. I'm not recommending that as a way for somebody to go about it, but for me, my body finally got used to it. You know, what is an allergy? It's your body trying to defend off something that seems foreign to it that it doesn't think, that it thinks is something bad for it.
Yeah, it's your body basically having an overreaction.
Right. But once it understands it, once it takes the sampling and gets to the point where it understands it and that it's normal to be around, it adjusts. It's amazing how our bodies are. I rarely get allergies. I rarely get allergies anymore, and I had them bad. And I mean, I'm around animals every single day, all day. They're in my face, rubbing around the whole bit, nothing. And I think about how miserable I was my whole life with allergies. You know, it's the same with shoes. You know, they insulate you from the things that you're supposed to have exposure to, the things that you're supposed to sample and build up resistance from. So it's important to have that.
Absolutely. So we do need to take another ad break. When we come back, we will be chatting more about some of the issues that we face as barefooters and some of the discrimination that's still out there. So stay tuned. And remember, if you want to call in and make a comment, the call-in number is 347-324-3704, and then just push 1 so we know you want to chat with us. We'll be right back.
Ancient of Days takes a look at history and the Bible in ways that you may not know from what you learned in school. Come join us Sundays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on freedomizerradio.com. See you there.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Flowing, but the government doesn't care. Once more, the EPA is knocking at our door. With a brand new rule, they want to regulate us more. They've tried before, and we said no. Why should they control what doesn't flow? Agriculture's safe, that's what they say. It's what they always say. That's enough, that's enough. Can't take away anymore. That's enough, that's enough. The EPA and the Corps, they will try to justify, but we won't back down. Don't need more government anyway. That's enough, that's enough. No more power play. That's enough, that's enough. We won't. Government anyway.
Tell the EPA it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm Sierra, the Barefoot Girl, joined by John of Flip Top Barefoot, co-hosting your awesome best barefoot radio show in the world, Barefoot is Legal, on Freedomizer Radio. Yay!
Hello, everyone.
I sound cool.
Thank you for being here. We do appreciate it.
So we've been talking a bit about the discrimination faced by barefooters and how we can kind of combat that. And I just found an article on BuzzFeed, my pretty much favorite website in the world. But this one is kind of irritating me. The article is called 27 Things Guys Do That Are Total Lady Boner Killers, which, I mean, it's meant to be a silly article, and some of them, yeah, totally wouldn't be able to go for it. Like, he doesn't own books, or, like, other things. Like, he won't shut up about a chemtrails conspiracy theory. It's fine to believe in chemtrails or conspiracy theories, but, like, you don't need to constantly talk about them. Other ones, he's racist, he's sexist, he's homophobic, rude to wait staff, writes haha or lol after things he really truly feels or thinks. He's always explaining what it's like to be a woman to actual women, mansplaining in general, tells you he hates it when girls have short hair. All of those, not okay in my book. But then number 17 on this list, but lol, his style, he wears Vibram 5-finger shoes everywhere. Why is that a problem? I mean, yeah, I think they look absolutely stupid, but why is that a problem?
I'm surprised they didn't say he goes barefoot as one of the problems.
Yeah.
I've seen that on lists before.
They've got styles on here that they hate, Crocs. denim jean shorts, cargo pants. Like, oh no, not cargo pants, not jean shorts. Oh no. It's just people telling other people what they can and can't wear, what they should or shouldn't wear to be acceptable in their eyes. I mean, it irritates me. And yeah, I have a problem with seeing my parents walk around in their underwear, but like, you don't look if you don't like it. But, and for the record, I don't see my parents walk around in their underwear, but in a hypothetical situation. But like, seriously, who are you to tell other people what they can and can't do with their bodies? Like, isn't that the whole point of what Roe versus Wade was? For us to have the right to say what we can do with our bodies? Why are all these people out there saying what we can and can't wear? And like, yeah, I understand that there are religions and cultures that teach that modesty is important. But shouldn't it be up to each individual person to interpret how they want to live that in their lives? What do you think, John?
I think, honestly, we're fighting our own genetics throughout history, especially in the early fight or flight days, to look for things that were unusual, for things that were different, to react on them because are they going to hurt you? you think of animals. If something bad happens, they're going to avoid that situation. Same thing. So we are fighting, you know, all of these years and years and years that are built into us of the fight or flight, you know, the back of our brain, the part just above the brain stem. The frontal lobe tells us those things don't matter. You know, once we're at a point where, you know, it really isn't a problem, it's not causing any harm, the challenge is getting, you know, the entire population from the back of their brain to the front of their brain. And it doesn't happen overnight, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's a transition, and I don't know how many of our listeners listened to Obama's eulogy at Reverend Pinckney's funeral yesterday, but he said that the change isn't going to happen overnight. He was talking about race relations, but that's true of any change. Like, if you're trying to lose weight, you don't all of a sudden lose 50 pounds and look freaking fantastic overnight. It doesn't happen. You don't start working out and have muscles overnight. And as long as you're taking baby steps every day, and even if you mess up one day, like you go into a store and you get into like a huge yelling, arguing confrontation with someone that tells you you have to have shoes on, as long as you keep trying the next day, you're still making progress. And I think that's what a lot of people who just casually go barefoot, and I'm not saying casually going barefoot is a bad thing, in my mind, casually going barefoot, people who just kind of go barefoot out of laziness or convenience. Like when I first started out and was going to check the mail barefoot, I was casually barefoot. I wasn't committed to living barefoot at that point. I just was casually going barefoot. There are other people who call it incidentally barefoot. There's lots of different people that like to categorize barefooters into like hardcore barefooters, which I'm sure anyone who's a member of any group on Facebook, there's always that one or two hardcore people about that cause that, like, they're so intense that it kind of scares people that are just getting started. Like, those hardcore paleo people that, you know, post pictures of everything they cook and the recipes for it all day, every day. And, I mean, they're really into their lifestyle. Then there's people who are just casually doing it. But the people who are casually doing it are still encountering the same problem. You know, with the paleo example, someone who cheats on their paleo diet twice a week or whatever, you know, I'm paleo, but I still eat Oreos. They're still going to encounter the same kind of social connotations of, there's kind of a general dislike of people that are on a paleo diet because sometimes there's just this stigma that they have a holier than thou. Oh, I don't eat grains, so I'm better than you. I mean, I've never met a paleo person who thinks that or says that or does that, but it's kind of a stigma that's out there.
And so, just like with barefoot people, there's a stigma that it's dirty, it's unsanitary, it's unsafe, it's against the health code, it's illegal, blah, blah, blah. There's that stigma out there. And the people who are casual barefooters are also going to experience that. And I think it's important that everyone understands that even if you're just casually into something, you have to band together with the other people that have been doing it longer than you, that have been doing it, I don't know, I don't want to say better than you, but more consistently maybe than you, because their experience and their knowledge can help you. And it's like, you don't need to be afraid to advocate for yourself. When you walk in somewhere and they're like, you have to wear shoes. Oh, no, I don't. Keep on walking.
Yeah. And the funny part to me, not funny as ha-ha, but, you know, there are so many people that would go barefoot if they thought it was socially acceptable. If you go on Twitter and type in barefoot and socially acceptable, you'll run out of pages that it's like, I'd go barefoot if it was socially acceptable. If it was socially acceptable, I'd go barefoot. Why is he going barefoot? It's not socially acceptable. The whole, yeah.
Yeah, so just some of these. Forever wishing it was socially acceptable to always be barefoot. Wearing shoes hurts my tattoo. Can I walk around barefoot for the next month? Would that be socially acceptable? Is being barefoot at Ribfest socially acceptable? If it were socially acceptable to be barefoot, 100% of the time I would be. Like, no. It is socially acceptable in some circles. And I think that's a lot of the problem, is that there's this idea that it's not socially acceptable. But who made this idea? I think a lot of it's in our own mind.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier when I first started going in places I normally wouldn't with the flip-tops on, because my mind had already convinced me that there's no way I would have been able to go there.
Exactly. And we've got Proof on the line here with us. I'm going to bring him in. Hi, Proof.
Hello. Yeah, sorry. Hi, I was trying to get here by 11:30, but it didn't happen.
That's okay. I got your message about your exciting day that you've been having so far, so no worries about running a little late.
Yeah, I just had to run down to the Hyundai dealership with the wife, that's all. But I'm back.
Are you not going to tell them the rest of it?
Oh, I forgot. What was the rest of it? I'm just now getting into spy book and all that, and I have no clue what I wrote before then.
Something about a prize.
Oh. Well, yeah, a few months back, the Hyundai dealership had a Guinness Book of World Record where they had the most Hyundais in a parade consecutively, and we were part of that, so they gave us some prizes.
So, yeah, Proof's been having an awesome day.
I don't know if it's awesome enough. But
not awesome enough.
It's 105 here right now, so it's not that awesome.
Yuck. It's 100, I think it's just 100 even right now, but yuck.
Wow, that's cool by comparison here. We're just in the high 90s.
So I missed the entire show, and I apologize. I was hoping that I would have heard some cool guest come in.
Well, actually, our listeners requested that John and I interview each other today. So that's kind of what we've been doing.
Yes, it is.
And I went on like a 20-minute monologue about how we need to band together on social media and fight against corporations that discriminate against us.
Yes, go ahead. All right. Hey, I'm going to mute myself for just a second here, and I'll come right back.
All right. So, yeah, we've got Proof on mute, and John and I are still here chatting about how being barefoot is actually socially acceptable. It's just, it's all in your head.
Exactly.
Wow, you're right. How do you find these, like, last week you were talking about ratchet and barefoot, socially acceptable. You find the best keywords on Twitter.
I honestly over-research things. I mean, you probably wouldn't know that by talking to me, but...
I found one that makes me happy. You know you're Australian when it's socially acceptable to walk around barefoot and not be labeled as homeless.
Yay!
A positive one.
But I honestly try to get the pulse of what's going on out there. You know, I mean, obviously, with my product that I'm trying to push, I have a reason to do that as well. You know, but as I've said before, the going barefoot comes first. And until we can see the changes there, the others are probably secondary anyways, as far as it'll be one tool, hopefully, that'll help people to bridge. I've always said I'll be successful when they're only used as a fashion statement and nothing else, not something that someone feels they're going to need to use. But at this stage, we're still there. Where in certain circumstances, it helps to have them. But yes, I over-researched things, that's for sure.
That's all right. Makes for good topics on the show.
But it is true that socially acceptable. I actually saw a survey, and the thing about surveys is it's a very scientific process, and most of the surveys you see aren't. You know, because what's the audience they're being directed at, especially on a social site where somebody had to use keywords to get, but
yeah.
Typically a very
or you
very
find the Fox News polls where they tell you who's in the lead for the presidency, but they don't include Rand Paul because he would be leading.
Well, because he's an independent, right? They only...
No, he's a Republican, but
Fox News, I thought he was running as independent,
refuses to acknowledge him.
Oh. Who is leading right now, just out of curiosity?
Well, Rand Paul would be, but because they don't want to show that he's leading, they have Jeb Bush and Donald Trump being 1-2.
Oh, gosh. Please not Donald Trump. Anyone but Donald Trump. Oh, gosh. Can we make all of the candidates enter a singing contest, get them all to sing Amazing Grace, see who's the best, and then elect them? Because that was awesome, Obama singing Amazing Grace yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see it.
He was eulogizing yeah. Reverend Pinckney, that the reverend that was shot in mm-hmm. in Charleston at the church, and he like just broke out into Amazing Grace, and it was the coolest thing ever.
Well, let me just mention here that I've been doing some discussion on my show in regards to all these, not just transgender. And like I mentioned on my Facebook post, I don't have a dog in the fight. I could care less about gay marriage one way or the other. If people want to get married or not married, that's up to them. But once they go past the transgenders and now they have transhumans where people think they were born a snake or a dog or a cow or whatever and they ask for certain stuff. To, what's that?
That actually exists?
Oh, yeah. There's trans-abled. That I've been posting plenty of, where
yeah,
there's
I've seen the trans-abled,
that,
transracial,
yeah,
bipolar.
Trans-abled is people think that they were supposed to be born with only two fingers on their left hand and their right eye is supposed to be out, and doctors refuse
yeah.
to do stuff that is that harmful, and there's people that actually are trying to get stuff like that passed so that if they choose to go to a doctor's office and say, hey, take my eyes out, I want to be blind, that the doctor would have to follow his Hippocratic oath and take the guy's eyes out.
Oh, God.
Well, it's just weird how this is becoming normal.
You know,
but yet something like
that because...
what we want, which is just to be normal but not have shoes on, how that still, there's no huge group speaking up for us. And that's why the Barefoot is Legal started. I'm just tired of having all these groups that, in my opinion, are full of crazy people, but yet we want something legitimate, and no, can't have that. Go ahead. I know
I
ran all over you.
That's okay. I actually saw an article talking about somebody, and I'm sure there's been quite a few that have had their toes removed to fit in certain types. Some women have had toes removed to fit in certain types.
Oh, this is way beyond that, yeah.
But that's just insane as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, there are women who have their pinky toes removed so that they can wear those. They creep me out, but the pointy high heels,
mm-hmm.
the pointed toes, that form a triangle. Feet do not form a triangle. Who invented these crazy shoes?
It is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why is it now that it would be considered acceptable to go to a doctor's office and have your eyes taken out and three of your fingers removed and it's not okay to run into 7-Eleven without shoes on. It's like, who decided what was normal?
Crazy people, apparently, because it's crazy that you can, well, in my opinion, it's crazy that you can have a gender reassignment surgery but not go barefoot in public.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. You know, I have nothing against you if you want to go get a gender reassignment surgery, but just let me be barefoot, for crying out loud, people.
Yeah.
If other people get to do what they want, why can't I?
And you look as a crazy person.
That's why I say it's crazy logic, because it's not consistent logic. If that makes sense.
Yeah, well, crazy people don't know they're crazy. I'm crazy, but know it, so that means I'm not crazy. Crazy, isn't it?
I'm crazy awesome.
It is strange. But, you know, one of the things we were talking about earlier, Proof, was, you know, we have the Barefoot is Legal group. We also have the Society for Barefoot Living that seems to be coming apart at the seams right now. And I think part of it is because there really isn't a direction there.
I've been saying for a while, and I don't know if Sierra believes me or not, but at least the Barefoot is Legal has a direction and a purpose.
Yeah.
Although not everybody has been assigned tasks and doing what I'd hope to just yet, but at least we know what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
I'm guilty
of that one. I'll be the first to admit it.
We're frustrated with internal things going on in certain groups on Facebook that we are admins in that are just frustrating internal things. We won't talk about them on the radio, but they're frustrating.
Well, I mean, I don't mind talking a little bit about it, just not to name any names at all, but I think that I do think that we need to get our direction together in the SBL, and we need to be more customer service oriented and not, it just seems like there's two factions there that stand out more than anything else. And one is that it feels like it's a police state in the group, and you have people that are bullies towards others, two separate issues.
Yeah.
And so a few people have left, new people have come in, and it's just a matter of getting all that straightened out. I don't think the group's going anywhere, at least on a negative front, but every so often there needs to be some cleanup involved, and I think that's what they're going through.
Yeah, for sure. The ironic part is, you know, just as we're looking at the prejudices against going barefoot, you run into the same types of mentality in some of these groups. If somebody isn't thinking exactly the way they are or on the same, have the same perspective, then they're wrong. And that's where I think it causes some problems. I know for myself, when I was so excited when I first got on and started talking about my flip-top things, not in a sales-type way. In fact, I was always trying to be careful with that, and as I do here. But, you know, some people would be just completely offended by that. That's not what we're here for. That's not what we're doing. And to me, it's what brought me the freedom. It's what got me past a certain hump that I know a lot of people are on the other side of. So, you know, everything has to be considered.
Absolutely. Sorry, I just muted you there, Proof, because we're getting a bunch of feedback from your phone. But we've got a long way to go, and we do need to band together and figure out a direction to go in to end this discrimination, because it's not acceptable. The world has come a long way in accepting other groups. Why is our group any different? It's not.
And to me, there is so much information available. It's almost like there's too much information available. that backs up our reasonings for going barefoot. You know, the health reasons, all of the things about the concerns people have about the nasty, the dirty, you know, germs, all of these things, there is plenty of good information on there. I think we just have to get it really organized and very clear so we can, you know, develop a nice, clear method that can be consistent. I heard once that people have to hear something three times before they'll believe it. So I think one of the things you need to do is get a consistent message going. If you ever watch somebody that's a speaker, you know, they will use the same words, they use the same phrases, and it's there for a reason. They're, you know, it's not just because that's what comes to their mind. You know, you have to get people conditioned to a certain degree to before they'll follow and believe. So I think it's very
important.
Well,
just like when you're writing a five-paragraph essay, you know, you start with your points at the beginning, you reemphasize them in the middle, and then you state them again at the end. You have to keep saying it to get your point across. And it's
yes.
The same idea with social interactions. Yeah.
Definitely do, and it has to be consistent. And I think one of the challenges I see so much good information out there, but nailing it down, you know, getting the best of the best is what I think we need to do. I think we really, that should be, you know, and I'd be willing to be involved in that. I've been a little remiss in getting involved in other things other than this program, but for a lot of personal reasons. But I think about it. I'm sure a lot of other people do as well. But, you know, the thinking doesn't get it done. So we all have to get to that point.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, that's the whole purpose of Barefoot is Legal, is to get the consistent message out there that it is safe, it is healthy, it is the best thing you can do for your feet 99% of the time is to let them be barefoot.
Yeah. One of the things in my journey was in the amount of all the research I've done, and as I've mentioned earlier, I tend to overdo it sometimes, I've become amazed at things that I never even considered. Do you know they even actually say for heart disease, it's better because of the way that when you're grounded, you know, I'm not that good technically, but the way your blood flows, the way it's, you know, charged, is affected. And This isn't just crazy people out there saying it. It's literally, you know, doctors, you know, studies. So there's so many benefits, mental benefits.
Exactly. Well, and I have fibromyalgia. And yesterday when I had to put flip-flops on, it was about 2 minutes. And the pain came right back. And maybe it was just a coincidence. And I didn't even think about it until later. But I'd been walking around barefoot for probably 3 hours. Had to put shoes on because the pavement got too hot. It was over 100 degrees. And I'd been walking maybe 2 minutes. The flip-flops on, the pain was back. And it went away when
incredible.
I took the shoes back off. I mean, there's so much we still don't understand about the human body. But we understand this much. Going barefoot is good for you. It helps such a wide variety of conditions. And we still need to do more research on it. But it's basically the healthiest, most natural thing you can do. Other than drinking water.
I totally
We are getting
agree.
The red light in the studio, though. We do have to end. We've got 30 seconds left. Thanks so much to all of our listeners. We hope to see you next week. Stay barefoot. If you see any good articles about living barefoot, send them our way. Tweet us at Sierra Barefoot, at Flip Top Barefoot. Until next week, stay barefoot and stay happy.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.